Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is your boy Skip and Tasha, aka Skip. Welcome to another episode of Video Game Bang, brought to you by Energy Esports, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, and Vast GG. Got some exciting news that we'll talk about here in a minute. But before we jump into it, this is extra special news too. This is the peak of video game news, and we'll talk about why. But first, let's go ahead and introduce who's here with us. Of course, we got Lexi. Lexi, how are you doing this week?
I'm great, Curtis. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I've been going crazy, you know, being inside and whatnot. So anytime I'm able to do something social with people, like come and talk about nerd culture and video game culture, I'm always excited. So I'm happy that you're able. Heck yeah. Yeah, no, it takes a load off. So happy to be here. Any highlight of your week so far outside of being here with us today?
Well, this is by far, I would say, the highlight for sure. And like you said, it's just great to have the interaction with everyone. I actually hit silver, let's say that, on stream and on League. So pretty excited about that. And just as for what I have at the moment, situation at hand, hoping it's over soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, congratulations on hitting silver on League, by the way.
Hey.
You got it. And of course, we have Emma Skies with us as well. How's it going, Emma?
It's good. It's good. It's I'm tired.
I bet. I know you had been spending quite a bit of time inside, but I saw over the last few days that you were doing some scouting. Why don't you tell us about what has you so tired between today and yesterday?
I've been going hiking. I've been going outside in the sunlight, which is new for me. But no, I've been hiking. I got lost today. I'm pretty sure I wandered into a bunch of poison oak and a lot of thorns. But you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, now even more of a reason for me to keep my social distance, because I'm as people know, I'm from Monterey. Got my Monterey Bay Aquarium hat on right now. And let me tell you, poison oak is something I know way too much about. I don't know what it is about Monterey. Maybe it's being closer to the ocean and it cultivating it more. But I have endless amount of stories about poison oak, and literally the elementary school that I went to was in the canyon, where same canyon as Laguna Seca, and mm-hmm. like we didn't have fences. My elementary school was called Foothill Elementary because we were literally in the foothills, and right where the playgrounds would cut off, it was just mass bushes of poison oak. Yeah, pretty much the poison oak. So it would be like playing basketball. Oh, try to save the ball, fall into it. Okay, well, we know that you're going to be out of school now for a while, because everybody had their weeks of school, you know, missing school because of poison oak every year. But that's awesome. I'm glad you were able to get outside and do some hiking. And now I saw you found one place that looked very, very Tomb Raider-ish. What was that all about?
I found a tomb. Wow. Like a legitimate, there are people buried there. It's from the 1800s.
What? Is it scary?
Crap.
No, it's not scary, because now it's like right next to a fucking golf course.
Wow.
It wasn't at the time, but it is now.
How respectful is that? You got a tomb right there, and what are you going to do? Let's go ahead and build 9 holes right around it. Why not?
Yeah,
oh my gosh. Well, glad that you were able to get out and enjoy the outside a little bit, which is something that all of us here in California are going to be doing a little bit more. Of course, as things are starting to lift around the country with, you know, the next tier of releasing us from lockdown, to see how that goes. California and certain counties in California is going to be part of that this coming weekend. So it's going to be a really interesting experiment to see how that goes. But yeah, if you're not one of the, I was going to call them brave, but I don't know if that's the right word, people that's ready to jump back out there with the rest of the population, still supposed to be practicing social distancing, I think I'm going to be going outside like Emma, like at hikes and whatnot at best, going to parks. I'm not going to be going to any of those beaches that people have been protesting about not being able to go
to. You let this first round of people go out and see what happens to them, and then you decide if you're going to go anywhere.
Exactly.
Bingo. Lexi and Emma share my sentiments. I've never been one to be the guinea pig. I learned that lesson a long time ago. So any brave souls that are listening in California, you feel free to tune back in next week, especially when we do this live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. And you let us know how that went. But yeah, I'm going to be pretty much keeping things reserved for the most part. Well, before we jump into the less video game related stuff, want to give a big congratulations because we got some big news. Everybody who's been listening to this podcast for a long time knows the head honcho, Mr. Corey Vincent. Finally, after years of waiting and then months and weeks of anticipation, congratulations to him. He and his lovely wife finally had their baby. She was born nice and healthy. I think a little over 7 pounds. So not right in the middle, not the smallest baby in the world, but you know, thank goodness, not a big old baby, but a very healthy baby, very cute. Anybody who follows him on social media at What's Up Pizzas, he's been posting his proud daddy pics and whatnot on there. So very excited for him. Of course, him being a gamer and so tied into video gaming, what does he put? A new player has entered the server.
That was exactly what Elizabeth wanted her husband to say when their baby was born.
See, me, that's what I was thinking. I was like, of course Corey wanted. I was like, is that? I bet you that's not the message Elizabeth wanted, but she's such a nice wife and, of course, indulges her husband in all of his nerdy and video game antics. So just wanted to give a big congratulations to Corey. And he obviously is not on the show this week. We're going to give him the time that he needs in order to get acclimated, get them all settled at home and whatnot before he jumps back on. But I'm sure he is on cloud nine right now and would not love anything more to be here. I'm sure he'd rather be with them, but he will be back with us soon. So away from a new challenger entering the arena and into the arena itself, we have some video game news. But before we do get video game news, I'm not going to play you any theme songs. I do want to do a little bit of... Yeah, don't worry, Emma. No surprises like that. I do want to do a little bit of what you're playing and go around and find out what we've been gaming on for the last 7 days. And let's start off with Lexi. Lexi, we know you reached silver on League. Feel free to tell us a little bit more about that. And you can tell us any other games you've been playing, too.
Oh, my God. That was the worst experience in my life. It took, like, forever. It seemed like eons. Literally... like centuries to get to this, but yeah, now I'm here. I'm on a road to gold now. Also, I've been looking at playing this week. There's this cool game called like Dance with Fire and Ice that I looked up today. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. If any of you guys have played it, please let me know. It's like a music type game. It's on Steam. And it's not that badly priced. It's really cheap, but it seems really fun and cool. And I saw like someone on like Twitch playing it, and I was like, "What is this game?" I thought it was like from a different country, but I guess it isn't when I looked it up on Steam. But yeah, it looks interesting. So other than League, I would say I played some Astroneer like maybe weekends ago. So that was fun. So I'll probably try to do that this weekend as well. Or try to dive back into it. I was kind of confused in the tutorial, but got it finished. But yeah, that was really fun. I like space games.
That's awesome. Yeah, space games always, I don't know, caught me. I was just always someone who was interested in space and whatnot. So usually it's fairly easy for me to get pulled into those types of games. But quick question about that music game. What was it when you saw it on Twitch? What was it that drew you in about it? What was the draw?
It looked very okay. So like I saw this person, they were playing like a highly competitive game, but they like stopped in the middle of playing that and just started playing this game randomly to pass time. And I was like, oh, that's really cool because, you know, some moments you're just like trying to wait up on queues and things like that. And you don't want to like waste that time. So they were playing this game. And it just seemed very like subtle, but at the same time, very like competitive. And the point that you can compete with yourself, you know, to see how long you can last to get to like last bar or whatever in this game. So that's what kind of drew me in. And it just looked very relaxing too, the music, and they're selling the soundtrack separate, you know, things like that. So I'm pretty excited to at least try it or give it a try.
Nice. That's awesome. Very fun. Very, very fun. All right. And then over to Emma Skies. Emma Skies, what you been gaming on this week?
I just finally started playing Control, which is great because I bought it like 6 months ago and then didn't touch it.
But, what made you crack it open?
I mean, I just needed something new to play. I've kind of been in that where like, okay, I finished the ones I was playing. The ones that I wanted to play aren't coming out anymore or have been pushed. So I guess I have nothing to do this month. So I just went into my backlog and found one. But it is everything that I like in a game being super weird and me having no idea what's going on. I love it.
Of course, yeah, it's been duly noted that you are very, very willing to jump into the abyss and the fray and just, you know, use your gaming instincts to figure out exactly what the hell the game even means and how to get to the end of it, which I always commend you for, because I'm like, anything that's too complex, I'm like, I can't deal with this. Give me something to punch. Give me something to dunk. And I'll be happy. So
see,
that's cool.
I love a good story. I love a good bizarre story where I don't know really where it's going to go or what it's going to do. So I'm still like, it's kind of one of those that like unfolds slowly. And then you kind of, I mean, it is a shooter, but it's got a lot to it. It's just a really weird fucking story.
Well, that's that.
I'm into it.
That's pretty cool. And then any other games, or was it mainly Control that you jumped into?
That's the one I've been doing right now. I'm still playing Death Stranding, and I played a little bit of Overwatch, and so I'm kind of all over the place, but Control is what's got my attention right now.
How's your baby on Death Stranding doing?
I hate it. I hate it. If I could take off that stupid thing and like punt it across the map, I cannot stand that baby. The only thing that I want out of a PC release of Death Stranding is mods to change the baby to literally anything else. Anything more palatable.
Like a dog.
It's a great conversation to have when we just talked about Corey's baby being born. We're very excited for you, Elizabeth and Corey. We're very excited for you. Love the baby. Love it.
And Auntie Emma will not be babysitting. That is for sure. There is no doubt about that. Well, I myself, it's pretty much been the use for me. I actually got an itch to play NBA 2K again, and in doing so, of course.
Playing again, did you stop for any period of time?
Yes,
was it like
I actually.
5 minutes where you weren't playing it, and then you picked it back up, and you're like, now I'm playing it again.
Oh, absolutely. I swore it off for like 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm not playing this game anymore. Wow. I'm tired of it. And then they put out two updates that everybody was pissed off about. And I was like, well, that's even more of a reason not for me to play. And then I literally just woke up one day and I was, some friends did invite me to play. They were like, oh, hey, you know, we need, you know, whatever, a big. And I have a player that's like, you know, one of the big, tall players. I play a lot of defense. Everybody else likes to score. And me, I just like to shut people down from scoring. That's like my pride and joy. So they're like, oh, yeah, we need a big. We need a defender, a rebounder. So I'm like, all right, I'll play. And And it just came off of me having like, I think that's another reason why I didn't want to play for a long time, because I spent like 4 or 5 hours playing one night with them and we were just getting wrecked. We went and we were playing 5-on-5 in the rec center. And I mean, we were getting blown out by 30, 40. I know one time we lost by 50 points. A team scored 100 on us. And that is like unheard of in the rec center because you only play 5 minute quarters. So we were just getting spanked and I was like, I hate this game and I don't want to play anymore. But They invited me in. I went in and had some really good games. And I was like, oh, well, we were winning and everything. And I felt faster and smoother. So I'm like, oh, maybe those up. I heard that people were pissed that they couldn't score as easy. And I'm like, oh, I'm a defender. Maybe they boosted defense again. Sweet. So went, had some good games, had some really good games. And I even went and played with randos. I never play with randos. Y'all know my rules. Can't stand it. I watched one of the biggest 2K Twitch streamers. He's actually just a big streamer, period, but he is known for 2K, and he left the community because it was so toxic. Came back, he had 27,000 viewers. I was like, dang, I didn't even know he got this many viewers. I'm watching it. As soon as he comes in and he's playing games where, like, you bet, it's called the Ante Up, where you can, like, put VC up to play games. As soon as he gets in, immediately, first thing they do, because they know everybody knows him, is like, oh, what's up, Flight? What's up, Flight? Everybody says, what's up, Flight? One kid is like, hey, Flight, can we be friends? Can you give my channel a boost? And then immediately after this, they say, what's up, Flight? And he just says, sup. Immediately after that, toxicity. Wow. F you, N-word, blah, 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 blah. Like, like it's just known that thing. And then here he comes from being chill to be like, F you, blah, blah, blah. What your mama say? But, like, way worse than that. And then I was instantly like, 2K, I know how toxic it can be, but it never gets this toxic for me because I only play with friends, and every time we play against people, I mute their mics before the game starts. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, he is a big streamer. This is how he makes his living, and he basically makes his living getting harassed and harassing people on a basketball game all day. I was like, oh, this is terrible. This is god-awful. Anyway, all that to say, yeah, that's pretty much the life of playing 2K, unless you play with better people. The 2K League just did start up again. Before we jump into the other news, that's kind of like my first semi-news story that I didn't even put in, on the docket. But being that sports is shut down, and I think the first sporting event that I saw everybody talking about was like a baseball game being played, I think, in Korea, which it was happening mm-hmm. super early in the morning. And all of my friends that are in like a comics and sports DM on Twitter, they were all talking about it. But then on the flip side, the NBA 2K season, they went ahead and officially started it. Everybody's playing remote. No one's going to the New York Center to where they would normally play the games. You know, once a week, everybody flies out there for about 2 or 3 days. Teams compete, and then they fly back to their respective cities and then practice for the next few days. But everybody played from home. Only one hitch in the game happened. They already had a rule set in place to address it. But they aired the game on ESPN2. So people that I know, friends of mine, people that have been on my stream and everything, professional players, it was such a cool moment to see them, you know, being like, hey, we love sports too. Basketball can't be represented right now. This is what we can do. And they were all just so proud to be on ESPN. And I mean, it was nice. I mean, people's moms were like mm-hmm. in the chat, their dads, like you could oh, see yeah. like, you know, it was like a Bash Mama or Nasty Mama. And they're like, you know, that's like their name. So I just thought that was so cute, so supportive for their moms and their dads and their cousins to be in there. Some of them even followed me because they saw that I got my Kingsguard shirt on. They were like, oh, you're supporting Kingsguard. And they were like following me back on my channel. So I got a few extra followers out of it, which was always cool. But anyway, I just thought it was awesome to see, you know, more esports representation, obviously, on ESPN Plus, and for it to be a game that I know and has a notoriously toxic scene. I can say that the pro players, because of how the league is, they have higher standards, and I'm so happy to know that they don't conduct themselves like that. Even former pro players, if you go to their Twitch stream, they may use more profanity, obviously, that's pretty normal, but they don't engage in toxicity either, so that was pretty cool. But anyway, so yes, the NBA 2K season has kicked off. Make sure you check out the NBA 2K Twitch channel, YouTube, and they will be airing more games on ESPN. And awesome. Straight from basketball to being able to change your junk in a video game. Emma.
Solid segue.
You got it. Thank you. All right. So what do we have, Emma? What's the first story?
So we talked, I think Cyberpunk announced last year that they were getting rid of like the gender binary in their game, which 100% makes sense for yep. that game. And really just makes sense for most games, but whatever. But they're starting to talk a little bit more about what your character customization is going to look like. And they were very, not clear, but they were kind of vague about the fact that you can customize your genitals in this game.
Yeah.
Question mark? So they said players can select a gender and customize their character. Customization can include depictions of breasts, buttocks, and genitalia, as well as various sizes and combinations of genitals. So on the surface of it, super fucking cool. Like, customize the shit out of your person, have basically be anybody that you want to be, which is what this whole game comes down to anyway. I have questions about the various sizes and of genitals. That's where they lost me at the size, is where I'm like, what is the, I just want to see the menu. I just want to see what this menu looks like. I am confused.
I have so many things that I could say, but I'm not.
No. Lexi, this is the place to say it.
This is the time. I'm just wondering, like, what Emma said, like the length, or like, can I, is it almost borderline Saints Row? Like, you know how Saints Row, you had, like, the dildos and all that kind of stuff? Like, I'm like, is this, like, can I have junk as long as I want? And like swing it over my shoulder and walk down the street.
Oh my god!
What I want, like, or is there limitations? Like, realistically, like, what y'all trying to do? Just like, I have questions that need to be.
I'm just gonna need to see what this character creator looks like. Because on a base level, what they're doing with their character creator is really cool. Where they're taking out the idea of you're either a male or a female, and that's it. It's, you can customize everything about your person. You can customize what pronouns they're going to use. You can customize how they're going to be referred to, and then what, like, individual parts they're going to have. So you can make your person, you can make them just like you, no matter who you are. You can make them just anybody that you could possibly think of, which in a game about, you know, a cyberpunk future makes the most sense.
Yeah, I'm really interested, like, the add-ons as well, like, as far as, like, mechanical-wise.
Right, like, what kind of cybernetic enhancements can you make?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it, what's the rules, like, rule 66 of the internet? Like, if there's, if it's on the internet, there's porn of it. Like, that's just how, like, you know, the human mind pretty much works. It's like, okay, we can upgrade stuff. All right, let's upgrade the, you know, like, what can be done sexually, whether it's upgrade it, change it, swap it, like, you know, basically mold it into, you know, whatever you're into, whatever your fetish is, whatever, whatever, you know. Or, and for some people, I mean, you know, maybe they're not so interested in, you know, the more sensual parts of it. But yeah, maybe they just want to, you know, make a character that, you know, like, that represents, you know, their idea of what they would, you know, want to be able to choose. You know, were they in the future where technology is like that and you can do that? But to me, the main thing is, I think it does represent very much the game, and it represents the cyberpunk feel, because, like, body mods is, you know, like, one of the biggest things in any of the cyber, whether it's cyberpunk literature, whether it's movies, whether it's tabletop games or whatever, body modification is one of the biggest themes in there. Technology meeting, you know, humanity, and, you know, basically the one of the, almost like a journey of it, is to see, like, How much can the line between humanity and technology be thinned to where there almost isn't, it almost isn't there, you know, until they are fully integrated. So, the second that I heard it, just on an accuracy level, it made complete sense. And of course, there's going to be people out there that are only looking at it for meme purposes and, you know, to be funny and jokey. And that's fine. I mean, you know, if that's what you want to do in a video game, that's your prerogative. Go right ahead. But I'm just looking at, as a huge cyberpunk fan who loves the literature, watches so many, you know, videos on YouTube and whatnot, I was just like, I thought that was a perfect representation of what it's like in that genre. And, you know, ultimately in the future, what it's probably going to be like more and more, because we can already do so many body modifications now. It's only gonna increase in the future. So, but yeah, the first thing. What were you saying, Emma?
I would say the only reason we actually got this information is because the ESRB put out a rating summary. So this didn't really come from CD Projekt Red. This came from the rating for the game came out. It is not surprisingly rated M. And they put out like a summary of what makes this thing rated M, and that was one of the things they put in there. mm-hmm. Was like how customizable like your genitals are. And but they also talked about like this game's gonna be like super fucking gory. Like I said, yeah. Some locations depict mutilated corpses with open chest cavities or exposed organs. It says during one quest, players assist a character by hammering nails through his hands and feet, where you can hear screaming and blood effects.
Wow.
Like, this is going to be a gory fucking game. I'm so excited.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, that's the flip side of it. That always comes up inside of Cyberpunk 2. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, what else, technology doesn't just get upgraded for body modifications. Weaponry gets upgraded yeah. too. And what happens with the technology of weaponry meets, you know, humanity and meets flesh. So it totally makes sense. Or what happens when body modifications go wrong? You know, some of the most interesting body horror that I had seen, you know, since I've been away from it has come to deal with that, or even from long ago, like Tetsuo, the old, oh gosh, I forget the director, but the old Japanese director, that's what it was, the Metal Man, like, you know, the metal and the technology of the time melding onto a human, and how the human was losing his humanity and his body because it was becoming technology, you know, and to see your body turn against you. Now take technology, turn it up times 10, put it in you, and now you got computers in there. You know, what happens when the computer gets a virus? What kind of virus do you get? What happens to your body? So, yeah, the more stuff that comes out about this game, it's almost like they can do no wrong. All of it just makes me want to play it more and more. So I'm pretty stoked.
It's going to be so good.
It's going to be great.
Absolutely, without a doubt. All righty. And then what else we got going on in the news world?
So we announced a new Assassin's Creed game, which, as per usual, Ubisoft is the worst secret keeper in the world. So I feel like, I think we've all known for like over a year that the next Assassin's Creed was going to be about Vikings. And yeah. Shocker, it is. Assassin's Creed Valhalla was announced last week. And I mean, their trailers always look fucking good. So it looks fucking good.
Always.
Did you guys all see the trailer for it?
I did.
Yeah. What'd you think about it, Lexi?
That was amazing. Assassin's Creed always does an amazing job. Like I said, I used to work for Ubisoft. I was a Fragdoll cadet, so I got to be at the events and do like everything with Assassin's Creed and Just Dance and Ghost Recon and all those. So I was pretty excited about that. I love Assassin's Creed, so anything they put out, for the most part, I'll pretty much like it. So this is a great mix, especially with the Vikings.
So are you all caught up on the games then?
The last one I watched them play, so I need to play it.
Wow. What's the last one that you played?
Man, it's been a while. I can't remember.
Not to call you out or anything.
No, yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head. I would say probably... no, it's not. Oh yeah, like the Egyptian one.
Okay, so the last one you played was Origins.
Origins, yeah.
Okay, so you're ahead of me because I am still to this fucking day stuck on Unity. I cannot finish this garbage game.
Why?
It's so bad. It's so boring. I hate it. Meanwhile,
Emma's over here like, I can't. She's gonna just skip it.
I really should at this point, but like I'm pretty far into Unity, and I've been stuck literally ever since it came out, because I played it when it came out and it was garbage, and eventually they did fix the bugs and things that were really bad, and so it was kind of just, you know, it's an all right game. But I'm in this mode now where, like, once a year or, like, every 8 months or so, like, I'll pick it up and be like, I'm going to finish this game. And then I play it for a few hours and go, yeah, this is why I don't play this anymore. And then I put it down. And then 8 months later, I go, I'm going to finish this game.
Dang.
And I just can't. I can't finish it. And I heard that Syndicate is good. So, like, I really want to get to Syndicate. And then I heard that Origins was good and Odyssey was good. And I'm just like, I'm still stuck on Unity.
Yeah, Origins is good.
One of these days. Do you play Assassin's Creed, Curtis?
No, I don't play Assassin's Creed, and I was just getting ready to ask, like, never played. I know that's blasphemy to the Ubisoft ears, but I have never, well, I don't want to say I've never played. I don't play consistently. I've picked the game up and I've actually, like, played it, but never played it consistently. But what is it about Origins that makes it so difficult? Is it the story? Is it the mechanics? Like, what about it makes it so...
Oh, the one that I'm stuck on?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Assassin's Creed Unity is the sixth game. I want to say five or six. And when it first came out, it was just riddled with bugs. It was almost unplayable. It was so bad. And it kind of became like a meme. It was like a Mass Effect Andromeda level, like, I can't believe you guys shipped this out. This is a broken, unplayable mess of a game.
You said Mass Effect Andromeda. Like, that's bad.
Yeah, it was real bad. A nightmare. And then something about it, like, over the years, they patched it and they put out a number of patches and it's actually playable. The bugs are, for the most part, gone. And then all that's left is the story. And it's just fucking boring. I cannot stand Arno, who is the main character. Like, he's just a douchebag. I hate everything about, I hate it. I hate it. I don't know why it's so bad, but, like, it's just not good. And I'm going to get to a point, I think, where, like, I'll put it in, you know, I'll fire it up again, and then I'll just figure out where I'm at and just read the rest of the game and be like, fuck, I'm moving on. We're moving on to Syndicate, because I actually want to play Valhalla, which means I need to play Syndicate, Origins, and Odyssey, and I know Odyssey is, like, long as fuck.
Oh, okay.
So I've got until, what did they say it releases? Like, November or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I've got until November to catch up on the other three. But what I'm excited for, and I'm excited to see what other games are going to do. So I know Cyberpunk is doing it as well, is that at least on Xbox, Assassin's Creed Valhalla is going to have what's called smart delivery, where basically if you buy the game digitally, if you buy it on your Xbox One, and then, you know, a couple months later the Xbox Series X comes out, you don't have to rebuy the game. You will just have it for that system as well.
Okay. Wow.
Which is super nice, because that's like, that was one of my worries about Cyberpunk, was like, I want to get Cyberpunk day one, but then the next version of the Xbox comes out like a month and a half later, so what the fuck, I'm just going to buy it, like, what does this mean? But no, I guess with smart delivery, don't have to worry about it, which I'm very excited for.
That's pretty dope. That sounds like a dope feature.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know who's not going to do that? I bet PlayStation's not going to do that, because PlayStation said, fuck your backwards compatibility.
Pretty much,
yeah. Buy this game five times.
I am not counting on it at all from PlayStation. PlayStation's got a... They've got a little ways to go, you know, before they get back in the good graces of people, and everybody's very curious about that new machine. But yeah, no backwards... They're not looking back, that's for sure. Pun intended. All right, well... So much for the immortal assassins, and back over to another way that you can assassinate some of your best friends. Mortal Kombat Aftermath has some DLC updates coming, Emma. Is that right?
Oh, that's Lexi knows about that. I have no idea.
Lexi, yes, what you know about that?
I was pretty excited just because I like fighting games. I haven't really dove into Mortal Kombat like I should, I guess, because I more so stay on the, like, Street Fighter Marvel front.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Mortal Kombat is coming out with an update. It goes live on May 26th, and it's including new stage fatalities and the amazing RoboCop as a character that you can play.
Literally.
And so a lot of people are going to freak out because nostalgia. And because it's freaking RoboCop.
There's going to be like seven people in the world who are excited about RoboCop and Mortal Kombat. Where did this come from? Like, what level of relevancy are we down to that RoboCop is the deal?
Granted, like, a lot of people play Mortal Kombat, of course. But I feel like they're trying to, like, spice it up, especially for the older Mortal Kombat fans. You see what I mean? And so they'll bring them back to playing Mortal Kombat. And then I'm like, just putting this out in the air. I feel like they'll do like Terminator 1 in the future, like all the older.
Well, Terminator is in Gears of War, which is what I was about to say next. Is like, this is the same thing I felt when Gears of War did Terminator. I was like, this feels like a dying game at this point. Why are you going back into the backlog?
I think they're just reaching for like that older audience at this point. Oh, like, wow. They're just like, we know they'll like it and they'll probably get it, and who knows?
That's exactly what they're doing. I like, without a doubt, you know, it's people like me that they're trying to, you know, go for. People that, you know, it came out when we were kids. That was the hot game. There's a nostalgia factor. They're trying to play on that. What else did we like back then? You know, yeah, they can't grab Terminator, obviously, at this point, unless, you know, until those rights, you know, get released. But yeah, they can add Alien, which they've done, adding Jason, which they've done. And then what else is old and nostalgic that they can grab? You know, something that, you know, can terminate things, something that can kill things, you know, something robotic. Oh, RoboCop. Yeah, let's throw RoboCop in there. And then nothing is being done with RoboCop right now. So, you know, all of them are like, yeah, happy to oblige. How much do you want to pay us to throw this into that game? So, I mean, and, you know, aside from that, there's other things that they added into. There were some characters like Shiva. Shiva was another character from, I want to say Shiva was in Mortal Kombat 3, if I remember correctly. So, again, that's, you know, calling back to, you know, some of the older. That was like one of the bloodiest, had like, had, you know, brutalities where you can literally beat the person until they just, you know, explode into a, you know, a oversized half the screen sprite of way too many bones, way too many skulls, and way too much blood. But that was cool to see. And then they also had, they're adding stage fatalities and friendships, which that was always one of the most, like, I never understood friendships. I think it was supposed to be a form of taunting, like, oh yeah, I could kill you. I could kill you right now, but instead I'm going to be nice to you. You know, I was like, oh, all right, that's weird. That and babalities. It's like, why would you just want to turn him into a baby? Like, I mean, I get if you thought that you were going to be selling this game to a bunch of Emmas, then that would be terrifying. They would hate that. Yes, turn your opponent into a baby. That would be, but other than that, there is just really no reason for it. So, yeah, you know, if you know anything about the developers of this game and Ed Boon and all of that stuff, it seems like it reminds me so much of some of the older parts of the comic book industry, always just wanting to, you know, add Spawn, you know, say bring Spawn back, bring this back, bring that back. And yeah, all of the older people that have disposable income, you know, yeah, some of them might come back for that. But, you know, if you really, obviously this is signs of a game that's dying, that's losing relevancy. There's not a lot of tournament play going on for Mortal Kombat right now. I mean, obviously, there's not a lot of tournament play going on, period. But for the online tournaments, like Smash is doing quite a bit, you don't hear a lot of online tournaments for Mortal Kombat. So while they're doing things like this and trying to pull back in those, you know, the older crowd that this game came out in their heyday, you got to be looking towards the future, though, because, you know, we just, I mean, I guess if they plan on sticking around until we get into retirement when we have all the time in the world to play, but you want to be grabbing the next generation. Those are the people that are going to be, you know, asking people to get this, you know, asking their parents to get them this game. And you know, they have way more time, you know, to play it. So I think, I mean, I don't mind the move, but if they plan for this game to be around, they're going to need to start learning how to appeal to a younger crowd, because otherwise this game won't be around for that much longer.
I totally agree.
Absolutely. All right. Well, talking about trolling, Emma, I think this might be.
Wow. What an awful segue. You're a bad person.
Boom, 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 boom.
You're a bad person.
I got to bring some of that Corey Vincent just to the spirit of Corey Vincent is alive right now inside of this stream. All right, Emma, what you
so
got?
So we've talked before about all these movies that are going digital. And that are releasing digital, and whether or not this is going to be a thing that like turns the tide, and is this going to be a thing we start seeing more of? And I think we like kind of laughingly talked about the fact that like, oh, it's fucking Trolls World Tour is the one, you know, that is going digital right now. Nobody gives a shit. Like, who cares? Apparently a lot of people, apparently quite a lot of people, because this movie made a lot of money. Trolls World Tour made more for Universal in 3 weeks on demand than the actual first movie did in 5 months in theaters.
Holy crap.
And, you know, maybe it's because there's not a lot else. Like, if you have a kid, there's one movie that you can watch on demand, and it's this one. And maybe that's all it is. I don't know. Who the fuck knows? But it made a lot of money. It made up to, like, roughly $100 million in the first 3 weeks that it was out. Which is, I think, comes out to more than, like, the $150 million that the first movie made in the same amount of time. Because when they're releasing these things on demand, they get a way better cut than they would if they were releasing it in theaters. So they get, like, 80% of that cut when they do it on demand. Wow. So yeah. They are getting a good amount of money. And now people are kind of wondering where this is going to go. Does this mean anything for the future? And apparently it does, because the president of Universal, which is the studio that put out Trolls, talked about the fact that when theaters open back up, they're probably going to be doing both. They're going to be doing both in-home and in-theater releases, which you're like, oh, that's great. Like, cool, a new thing. AMC was not happy, and they threw a little bit of a bitch fit and 100% cut off Universal. They've said that they will refuse to show any Universal movie in any of their theaters anywhere.
But this is my thing. I just don't understand. Like, why are they like they're like, oh my god, this person can make a movie and make money a different way, or like people will view it and more people will view it, blah blah blah. And I'm just like, why are you mad at that? Like, that's being innovative. Like,
well, because it will directly take business away from AMC.
Which I get.
Because if you had a movie that you were kind of like, you wanted to see it, but it wasn't like a huge blockbuster, it wasn't a huge deal for you, you didn't need to see it on a giant screen, and you're like, well, I could drive to the movies, pay $18 or whatever it is here for a ticket, buy popcorn, you know, sit in the theater, drive home, or I can spend $20 and watch it here at home and pause it whenever I want and eat my own food. Like, there's going to be a good amount of people that just decide to watch at home, and AMC is not having that. They are not, because they've already been struggling. They were, like, near bankruptcy before all of this happened.
Yeah, here's they got a big thing. Loan to like even stay in the business. They had to get a really big, I think it was like a $500 million loan or something like that, just to like stay afloat.
Yeah, and they're the biggest distributor, like they're the biggest theater chain in the country.
What happens when like Disney, for instance, I'm just throwing this out there, like what happens if they go, none of our movies are going to be, well, our movies are going to be the same. You can either buy them on Disney Plus, or you could go to the movie and watch them.
Right, like if it's something like Disney, do you think they're still gonna say, "Oh, well, we're just not gonna show any of your movies ever"? Fuck you. Or no. Are you gonna have to be like, maybe we rethink the strategy
up at that point?
What was funny is I kind of made this analogy, but Disney is already doing that. They're doing that with the Disney Plus shows. Like now, they're using the same actors and actresses. You know, they're just not marketing them like movies, but in reality, you know, we're gonna get, you know, an 8 hour or more. I think if there's more episodes, but at least an 8 hour spinoff movie of, you know, from Captain America, and it's going straight to Disney. The only way that you can watch it will be if you have a Disney Plus subscription. So, and I think, you know, Disney knows that, and everybody really knows that. And they're trying to play, you know, they're trying to play the game, because part of it, there is still the prestige of, you know, hey, my movie did this, you know, in the theaters. There's still that. But, you know, corporations also like, you know, I just want the biggest cut of the, you know, of the money. You know, if I can take this much percentage, you know, or keep all my money if I play it on my own platform, then that's more money that goes directly to me. The issue is like the user base and people signing up. I think that still needs to get there for Disney in order for them to fully pull it from the movies. But I think the theaters are, you know, although I didn't fully agree with how Corey framed it, theaters are going to have to accept that. Cause here's the other thing. Plenty of movies already do. We know those movies. We've seen even the trailers for them. They're lower budget movies, but they say, you know, hey,
straight to demand or straight to VHS movies. My favorite.
Right. And remember, some of them even do both. Some of them are like, hey, we're in the theaters and, you know, we're VOD at the same time. So those already happen. The thing is, you never hear any fuss about those because those aren't the highly budgeted, big draw, you know, projected to do big numbers movies. Those are the like, oh, that's like an indie film or that's like a middle of the road film. So they don't care. But it's inevitable. It's going to happen. It's almost kind of like the movie theaters are dying and like they just expect the studios to like just stroke their hand, you know, while they're laying on their deathbed. Like, don't shit on me while I'm on my deathbed. But, you know, rub my head, you know, tell me we had a good relationship. Let me know that you respected me, you know, and then when I croak, you know, that's essentially what it is. I'm just trying to be honest because like y'all said, that's just the way that it's going, unfortunately.
Yeah, theaters are just gonna have to adapt. It's and they've been doing it for the last handful of years where you're not just a movie theater anymore, you're also a restaurant or you're also a bar, or you have, you know, what, you know, you have to make yourself stand out of why would you leave your house to come here. Oh, it's because we have these really nice leather seats that recline and they're heated and we'll come bring you food. And they're just going to have to adapt to a different scenario.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they're ultimately going to be a novelty, just like drive-in movie theaters or, you know, oddly, you know, those
still
are the
playing. Did you know they're still playing? Still open?
Oh, yeah. It's been open throughout the whole.
Yeah. I didn't even think about the fact that, like, you just sit in your car. So, of course, they're still open. Did not even occur to me.
Mm-hmm, wow. Absolutely. You can't go. Everybody can't go inside, like the snack bar and all that is shut down. Only one person can go to the bathroom at a time from a car. But yeah, like those are still going. So it's interesting in this time that places like that are becoming a little bit more popular now. But yeah, movie theaters are going to be a novelty. It's going to be a bit like going to a theme park because like y'all, you know, made good points. It's overpriced. You know, if I just want to take my daughters to the movie theaters and just get like popcorn and food and like whatever and get the tickets, I'm at least going to spend, I mean, at the very least, I'm spending like $60 to $70 just for one visit, as opposed to renting the movie at home. We eat whatever food we have at home, or even if I want to do Postmates, you know, and or whatever, even if it's like $40 for Postmates and $20, the whole thing is I don't have to drive there, we don't have to drive back. We're at home, and you know, so yeah, it's completely different. And you know, and they're, like you said, they're gonna just have to adapt. Indeed. Wow. Yep. Well, all right. We've talked about trolls. We've talked about fatalities. We've talked about being able to upgrade your junk. Did you just a few things real quick before we wrap up? Lexi, did you want to talk about some quick Sims news?
Sure. So there's a new Sims expansion pack that's coming out. Basically, it is for everybody who really loves being in the eco lifestyle. I'm pretty excited about it. I feel like it could be a good teaching tool also to a few people and kids like to learn like the responsibility of being eco-friendly. Mm-hmm. The pack has alternate things you can do as far as growing your own food, wearing plant-friendly clothing, and upcycling like materials for furniture, et cetera. And also, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but The Sims 4 is still on sale for like $5.
Nice. It's so worth it. For $5. Yeah.
And they actually have been running this promotion since like mid-March, but the expansion pack will be $39.99. So just a heads up if you're interested in getting it.
Right on. So that's for all the Sims players out there. That Sims have, I forget about that game so often. And then like,
how do you forget about it? It's the Sims.
That's a very good point because it's like, it's one of those things where the people that in my life that I don't think really game, I never hear them talking about gaming. And then they play The Sims. And yep. I'm like, oh, that's right. How did I forget about that? That's like a real thing. You know,
it's like a whole thing on YouTube.
That shit gets you. Like, you will just be sucked in for 17 hours and not realize where you are anymore. And you're like, oh, fuck, I've been playing The Sims this whole time. And you're like, why am I hungry? Just ate. Like, no, your Sim just ate. You, the real person, need to go put food in your real mouth.
Literally, when I play The Sims, I sit there for hours, like you said, and then like I have to wean myself off and like play something else because I just can't. Like The Sims or even like Sim City type games where you build your own city. I love that kind of stuff. I just have to wean myself off.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's it you can easily get lost in it. And that's just a testament to how much fun it is. And then lastly, for a segment to kind of come back at, you know, obviously I talked about earlier, California and other states are starting to open up a little bit more. And for one of my favorite industries, which is the comic book industry, that's a big deal. Some places were still able to do curbside pickup, and a lot of shops in California had adapted to, you know, hey, give a call in if there's something that you're looking for, we can send it to you. And, you know, from there, you know, they'll just mail you your comics. But there wasn't new comics coming out. That was for comics, you know, like that were either already in the shop, back issues, you know, older comics that you're trying to catch up on, you know, from early 2000s, 80s, 90s, whatever, or, you know, collected trades. Once, you know, a whole story comes out, you know, they put it all in one book. You can get the omnibus. It's a big story, or you can just get the 5 to 6 issue trade if it's a smaller story. But DC Comics had started to digitally release comics over the last few weeks. There were $1 comics. They had already been created. And they were 99 cents essentially inside of their app. And it was, you know, it was nice. Most of them came from the Walmart Supergiant, which was a book that they put out exclusively in Walmart, trying to bring back the whole feel of, hey, you don't have to just go to comic book stores to get your comics. And you don't just have to go to like Barnes and Nobles either. You know, you can go to a place that you normally shop, kind of like the old spinner racks where you used to be able to pull a book off. You know, you could, you know, pull your comics. It was $5 for an anthology series. So you get a big fat book for $5. And but we didn't really hear much about it coming out of Walmart. So I read a few of them. The stories were really good. I enjoyed them kind of more than some of the mainline books that were coming out when DC and Marvel were pumping out books. But now, starting this week, it looks like DC had went to two different distributors, Diamond, which is the monopoly, the main way, the only way really that majority of the comic stores were getting their books. They went in a different direction. And as of Tuesday, May 5th, they had released some new comics. So for Oblivion Comics and Coffee, who did get some new books in as well, which if you're in the greater Sacramento area, you can contact them. They can invoice you. You can get your books sent to you. DC had some new comics came out. They had Batman and the Outsiders number 12, written by Brian Edward Hill, who is one of my favorite writers and actually a cool dude who, like, he just lets you hit him up on there and answer writing questions for you and all that different stuff if he has the time. So that book came out. DC Superstars number 17, which is an older book, is a facsimile edition. The Flash, 753. So the Flash series picking up where it left off at. I read Flash 750, which was an anthology, little mini stories in one book, and there were some really cool stories in there. I suggest everybody check that out. Green Lantern season 2 number 3, that's from Grant Morrison. Anybody who knows about Grant Morrison, his books are really trippy, really freaky, and this Green Lantern series they did almost like it was a TV show. So they had season 1, they stopped for a few months, got ahead of them, you know, got ahead on the work, and then now they're releasing season 2. So this is actually number 3 of it. Hawkman number 23. I have not read Hawkman since earlier on, but Robert Venditti, he is one of my favorite writers. He's a great writer, and everybody says this is the best comic book in the industry that no one's reading because it's freaking Hawkman. But it got Robert Venditti up for writing some Superman stories, and it did so. It's such a good book that it got him on Justice League after Scott Snyder, and everybody knows about Scott Snyder if you've read any Batman stories.
Yeah,
Emma loves that. Who doesn't love Court of Owls storyline from New 52? It was so good. And then House of Whispers, number 20. And then also Joker and Harley, Criminal Sanity, number 4 came out. So if you're a DC fan, you're looking to get your fix, comic book stores around the nation started to get their books in. So give a call to your local comic book store. Order these books. You can have them shipped to you if they have curbside pickup. If your state is starting to open up, still practice social distancing, still be safe out there. But, you know, go grab your books if you can. Support the comic book stores. We've already had a number of them close down. I'm so happy that Oblivion Comics and Coffee was able to sustain it through donations that People were giving throughout time. So throughout these tough times. So thank you to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for being a sponsor of ours, for being able to tough it out. And I can't wait till we get some more books, because there's Marvel books that are coming. Supposedly, though, Marvel books and Image books should start returning. I'm just double checking here. Later in this month, we should start seeing those pop up too. So keep an eye out if you're a Marvel fan, if you're an indie fan, if you're into Image Comics, those books will start returning to stores projected later this month.
Oblivion actually has an online comic store that they just opened up. You can find it on their social media accounts, and their 3-year anniversary was actually a couple days ago on May the 4th, I believe. And nice. They're having a celebration this Sunday, May 9th. It's going to be all online, obviously, but they're going to have a giant sale all weekend on their new online comic store. They're going to have some more year 3 merch. They're going to be doing some live stream hangouts on Facebook and Instagram and Twitch. They're going to do online trivia, Netflix party movie night. So check out Oblivion Comics and Coffee's social media accounts on Instagram and Facebook for more information on that.
Absolutely. Thank you for plugging that in there, Emma. And that will wrap up Oblivion Comics and Coffee segment of our show. And that'll pretty much wrap up the show. Before we get out of here, Lexi, you did some streaming, and we were there, and we caught it. And it was as much as you talked about, you were nervous and you're not sure how you're going to do. I got in there, and like within seconds, I was like, oh my gosh, she is perfect for this. Like,
oh my gosh.
She has the energy. She has the charisma. You were talking smack. I was like, she's got it all. Like, I was like taking notes. I'm like, all right, I need to take my streaming game up a few levels. Lexi,
oh my God,
hopping in the ring and running away with it. So are you planning anything anytime soon? Are any more streams coming where any of the people that that check you out here can check you out at your channel?
Yeah, so this weekend is Clash tournaments, basically on Saturday and Sunday. So I'm thinking about streaming on the Saturday tournament, if you guys would like to watch. Again, my stream is X Space Minty X. I was pretty nervous just because, like, equipment isn't the best. But, you know, we work with what we have.
That's right.
And my stream kept, like, lagging a little bit because my internet cord for some reason was not working right. But, you know, we're going to try again this Saturday. And if you guys would so happen to want to come by and say hello, please do so. I will be talking smack again, as Curtis has already said. It's pretty entertaining. And you can meet my egg. I'll just say that.
Oh, okay. There are plenty of reasons to come and check out that stream. So if y'all are around at the house, which most of us will be, hopefully most of us won't be at the beach this weekend as the states start opening up, tune in, check out Lexi. If she's going to get any better than she already is, she might just be a full-time streamer. Who knows?
Oh my God.
And then on to our next streaming guru, Emma Skies. You got any streams coming up? Are you going to be doing some like IRL, what used to be IRL streams when you're like live streaming your hikes and getting lost and finding like dead people in tombs? Or what's going on?
No. I am taking this week off just for me. Just been going out on my own. And then I'll be back next week. I've been doing Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 4 p.m. So you can catch me there next week.
Nice. There you go. Everybody knows how Emma Skies gets down. She's got the whole streaming thing on lockdown. She is, if you're a streamer, she's what you aspire to be when you grow up as a streamer.
Emma, when I grow up,
I'm going to hate
him. And as far as me, I've been streaming more. Of course, I've been playing NBA 2K on there, but I've been going back to like the reading comic streams. I did one late. I think last night I just couldn't sleep, and sometimes reading comics when I'm alone, it's hard for me to focus because I'll like check my phone or I'll like check a YouTube video or something like that. So I've just been going on there reading ones. For anybody who's into Thor, as you know, I love John. We got a Thor fan on here. It sounds like there we go. I love Jonathan Hickman, he's my favorite writer. He's currently writing X-Men. There was a big hoopla about that series. Well, I've been going back through and reading some of his stories that I didn't read before, especially from the Ultimates universe. So I read through the Ultimates, his run, 2 volumes. He did an Ultimate Hawkeye tie-in, and he did an Ultimate Thor to start it off. I went back and I read that Ultimate Thor, and 90 minutes, read through it. It was really, really good and had some awesome twists. I'm like, who can't Jonathan Hickman write? He can write anybody. He's written the Fantastic Four. He's written the Avengers. He's written the Ultimates, which is basically like the Ultimate Universe Avengers. He can do it all. And now he's writing the X-Men. So if you guys are so inclined, if you want to see a really, really interesting Thor story that's pretty short, it's only 4 issues. I read it on my channel, Skip and Tosh, twitch.tv/SkipAndTosh. So anyway, thank you, Emma and Lexi, for being here. Again, congratulations to Corey and his wife Elizabeth and their brand new bundle of joy, Mara. I'm sure Mara will probably be taking over the podcast from Corey, because probably coming out the womb, she'll already be a better host than him. You can clip that and you can send it to him. And thank you everybody for joining, and we will see you guys again next week. Later.
Bye.
Bye.